It's time to get real with Mike Murphy. Take off the blinders and wake up to what is going on in the world. Mike is sharing unfiltered truth so you, the listener, can make your own decisions and cut through the noise of what mainstream media is saying. Mike is bringing you real news, real problems, real solutions, and real hope. Question everything. Open your mind, own your power, and get real now with Mike Murphy.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another Get Real News Hour, and I'm your host, Mike Murphy. Hey, so it's a little different this week because I'm traveling. I'm up in Idaho right now. I'm not in my home studio, and I'm playing golf, so I tee off at 1 o'clock every day, so I can't do it live, and I can't give you all the news stories. And they've changed so quickly that if I did it this morning any other way, just wouldn't work. So we're going to have a fabulous guest, which I'm going to bring on in a few minutes, just a few little other things. The show's been doing extremely well, so I'm very grateful for all of you guys viewing, watching, sharing, liking, subscribing, because that's the thing. The whole purpose of this is to bring you real news with not a lot of agenda or propaganda attached to it. Let you decide what's going on in the world, but so that we can wake up as many people as possible before we lose the opportunity to wake up at all. And so the way the world is going, it's just crazy. I was just in Northern California. The fires were unbelievable. The electrical storms are unbelievable. I drove from Palm Springs to the Bay Area and stayed a night in Fresno because I played a golf tournament there. And here was my takeaway. You know, you can't eat good food. So if you're going to travel like that, either bring your own or you're going to be in a fast food line because nothing's open inside. And here's what I know. Just my wife and I, neither one of us are big eaters. The first place we stopped, McDonald's, okay. You know, I really wanted an In-N-Out burger, but that's got a two-hour line. And so there we are at McDonald's. Two people, $40, okay? And the next day when we leave Fresno to go to the Bay Area, I was hungry and went to Popeye's. I've never been to Popeye's chicken place. And $40 again. So, I mean, prices are going through the roof. I don't know how people that are on a fixed income are going to be able to survive much longer. So I just wanted to bring that up. A lot's happening in the world. And so we're going to have the incredible Jim Willey on today. Jim is the editor for the Hat Trick newsletter. His August letter just came out. I flew from San Francisco to Spokane yesterday. It was about 90 minutes in the air. Got halfway through, and I had no Wi-Fi, so I couldn't even look at his links. Spent another 90 minutes this morning. So I've read the whole thing now. It took him 3 hours, but I still haven't checked any links. I mean, what he provides, the value he provides for $20 a month is unbelievable. So I really encourage you to check that out. It's at thegolden-jackass.com. He has some free content, but you can subscribe to his newsletter there, and I strongly invite you to do that. So with no further ado, Mr. Jim Willey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very strange, thank you. This is a bizarre time. We're living in surreal environment, and what I'm finding amazing now is that people are starting to awaken. I mean, if it's not the prices, it's the ridiculous rules. Oh, you mean they can riot in downtown environments, downtown locations and streets and loot, but I can't go to church. Okay, so I can't take my little boy to the park to go on the swings. They're all roped off, but they open up everything for the rioting. Yeah, okay. I've got something that's really quite remarkable that happened to me. It's my younger sister. You know, she's not a little girl. She's 2 years younger than me. She's a career attorney. And she said, I'm disgusted, Jim. I'm disgusted with what's happening. The rules make no sense. One state to the next is quite different, depending on, it seems like, political party loyalty for the governor. The Black Lives Matter seems like an open invitation to destroy cities. There was an incident in our family where somebody was injured by a policeman who defended the BLM folks. I have my own little joke. I really believe black lights matter. For rock and roll music, put on the black light. I think black lights are really important for enjoying rock and roll. If black lives matter so much, why do blacks kill each other so much? Okay, let's leave that alone. I'm noticing that a lot of people are awakening. And it's people you don't expect. It's people who maybe thought the conspiracy nut jobs made no sense. And now they're thinking, whoa. I know people who've had bank accounts arbitrarily shut down, their own personal bank, you got to make an appointment to enter. The movie theaters, the sports venues. Okay, this is kind of cool. I've been watching as an indicator for our society and the economy and the linkage, including even to Las Vegas and the mafia. What's happening with, say, sports, professional sports? And remember back about 2 months ago, we were dealing with Major League Baseball and negotiations. Well, we've got this half season of games, and we've got this a deal with the Major League Baseball Players Association for half salary. And we think that's going to work. And I thought, well, wait a minute, no attendance. So the owners are going to lose big money. And where are in Spanish it's patrocinador, sponsors. Where is the marketing and sponsors going to come from? And the ratings are way down. They've got cardboard cutouts behind home plate. It's actually a positive effect for the television viewer, but the owners are losing money. They're not getting the gate receipts. They're paying on a prorated basis, they're paying the players. And the players are saying, oh gosh, I hit a home run and there's no noise. Or a pitcher saying, I got, you know, bases loaded, two outs and a strikeout and there's no noise. They need the noise. It's part of the game. It's part of the reinforcement. And what you're getting is, I think, a gradual realization that all the rules are harmful. Not some of them, all of them. Social distance, this is really kind of typical, but so unfortunate. There was a cute little girl, and I'm not a pedo, just a cute little girl at the table next to me, and she was looking at me like, ah! And I just smiled at her and realized I got a mask on. Right. The smile matters nothing. So they're eliminating that. Okay, here's a pernicious element. The 1 meter, 1.5 meter distance, that's not to eliminate, you know, coughing and saliva spray, which are real transmission mechanisms. If somebody has the flu and he sneezes or talks a lot and gives you a little bit of a spray cloud, it's about like that. It's about, you know, two or three feet. The 1.5 meter is for satellite detection.
And also artificial intelligence, I believe, they're really trying to focus. They want to see if the mask, they can get our other mannerisms to put it in the AI and see.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. So they're widening their database with just partial facial recognition.
And also how you move your body. They're really fine-tuning this thing. There's going to be nowhere to hide. You know, the only guy that can make a body double maybe is Biden.
I actually believe that we're going to be able to hide just fine. I'm a little weird. I'm weird. I think that people can stay in the shadows. They can go underneath the overhang of a building and walk. You know, I've seen a lot of different spy movies, and you know, some of them are still Sylvester Stallone, and some of them are other guys, and you know, like Harrison Ford. And you watch them, and they say, well, you know, check the reflection on that storefront window to see if someone's following you. There are lots of things you can do. Here I am moving around again. I'm going to be out of center, but.
That's okay. Hey, let me ask you something, because this is fresh in my mind. I was just in the San Francisco Bay Area. The smoke is unbelievable, but I don't know if you caught any of the videos or the pictures of the lightning storms that really set off this thing. Have you seen any of that?
No, I haven't.
I mean, this was HARP on steroids, right? And it seems to me like in California that they're trying to burn it up and put the, and also when you drive, like my business is in Oakland, all these apartments going up like crazy, San Francisco. I really, well, this is my feeling, okay? And you do a lot more research than me, but if, you know, these stack and pack cities, they're going to burn out the rural areas. And I really, it feels to me like China has already bought California, and it's just as soon as they get rid of the guns, they're going to move in. Is that crazy to you?
No, nothing sounds crazy to me anymore. Honestly, I'll entertain any theory at all and probably find some merit to it. Now, remember about a year ago, we were getting a lot of controversial information about PG&E causing some fires by arcing off their transmission towers, relay wiring towers.
Right.
And you heard things about, you know, satellite, 5G satellite. And there was a lot of talk, and hardly any of it was dismissed, but there wasn't much follow-up. And then I heard, oh gosh, you got some things going on with PGE and bankruptcy. And I thought, whoa, bankruptcy of PGE? Are you kidding me? That's a Rothschild entity.
Exactly.
Back then I looked at the maps and it seemed like a whole corridor was being cleared out.
Right.
And I do believe there are some, there's some reality behind the clear out. I think they've got plans, some giant metro cities. I heard something that's along the same lines. This came from a really good source. And he said, if you look at the BLM city damage, where the fires are, it's almost like they're on a straight line. And I think it was Catherine Fitz who confirmed what he was telling me, that the HUD is buying up Housing Urban Development, is buying up some of the burned out property, and elite officials are buying them on 10 cents on a dollar. So there is some additional activity going on behind the scenes with ulterior motives that are very, very pernicious and ugly. I'm of the opinion that every single rule is intended to harm. I just saw a pretty good listing of the risks for wearing a mask. It's less oxygen to the brain, a little bit more bacteria intake. There's also some virus particles that are lodged, and then you got that intake. So you're actually more susceptible. Here's a kicker. This is really quite interesting. I only recently learned, and I've got, you know, a little scientific background, not a lot, but my college degree was Bachelor of Science, and I've done a lot of reading in Scientific American. As you take in a little less oxygen and a little more carbon dioxide, your blood acidity level rises, and you become more vulnerable to diseases, because the better health is found in slight alkalinity for your blood. And if you want to counteract your mask effect, eat yogurt, drink more milk, and raisins and nuts. Raisins are really quite high in alkalinity. I found out, oh my gosh, all these things that I really like to eat in my spare time, they're all good for alkalinity. It's no wonder I've got such good health. But all the rules are intended to harm. Why are malls closed on a weekend? Oh, because they're big crowds. Well, yeah, but you've got half the tables eliminated. What's the problem?
Right.
It's all to do slow motion damage to the economy. Okay, here's something that a lot of people don't think of. I'm an economist. Well, practicing economist, not a trained economist. I'm unencumbered by the limitations of economics credentials.
You haven't been brainwashed with their propaganda.
Right. But I'm not encumbered by the credentials.
Right.
If you knock down, let's just make up something, a certain restaurant chain, let's say Olive Garden. For here, it's Quiznos, you know, sandwich shop, which I like very much. They make a lot of good sandwiches. If you knock down their business by 40%, what are you doing to their profit margin?
You're killing it.
You're eliminating it. So it looks like they're reducing it a little bit on activity for health reasons, but what they're really doing is eliminating the profit margin, and that's why we're about to see Subway shut down in Costa Rica. I tell you, all the rules are intended to harm.
Yeah. And so let me ask you, well, first of all, let me ask you this. Did you watch any of the DNC four nights of Trump bashing last week?
No, I didn't. I've heard about it. I refuse to watch because I get nausea, and I hate vomiting in my bed. I really do. There's a lot of cleanup.
Yeah.
I mean, watching Michael Yvonne Robinson, I'm sorry, I mean, Michelle Obama, Watching that would have gotten me pretty close to upchucking.
So here's what's interesting. I was reading this morning. So he got zero bump out of the convention. It was a snooze fest, believe me. I only watched it. No. But a snooze fest, right? But he got zero bump. You know who also got zero bump after their presidential DNC?
Biden.
But we're talking about big losers. John Kerry got zero bump, and McGovern. And they both got killed in landslides, right? So I really believe that, you know, let me ask you, if it's an honest election, what happens, and what do you think is going to really happen?
Okay, if it were an honest election where only registered voters or, you know, citizens or people who are alive, or you can only allow one vote, one person.
Right.
Okay, this might sound a bit outrageous, but I think Trump would win by between 50% and 55%.
I actually even see it a little higher than that.
Well, I didn't want to get crazy and say 65. 50 to 55 would be more than triple the worst landslide ever.
Yeah.
And okay, the NSA in October of 2017 came out with a study that no major press syndicated organization repeated and covered. But what they said was Trump won 70 million to 58 million. Not by 1 million, but by 12. Okay, do the math, and I think it comes out to something like a 13% victory. I don't think Nixon even got that big a victory against McGovern. There was an important Supreme Court decision. And I'm not a family of lawyers. I've got a sister who's an attorney. My brother went to law school and changed careers to be, you know, involved in teaching mathematics. But, you know, if you have a brother and a sister, both in law school, both starting out law career, imagine all the conversations that you get, you know, at vacations and just, you know, during school years, and you're off to a movie or off to a Pittsburgh Pirate game, and you're talking about what's going on with moot law court, moot court. I mean, my sister loved moot court, and she thought, oh, gosh, I should have gone into acting. The Supreme Court had a case, and they reversed a circuit court decision in Oregon. And the case was about redistricting and gerrymandering so that they could, you know, obviously get more Democrat representatives in the Congress. And what they did was they used a mail-in signature method, and the Supreme Court said, no, it's invalid. You got to have people showing up. There's too much opportunity for fraud. Now, you might say the inexperienced and naive might say, oh yeah, but that's just a minor Oregon case. And I say, oh, you do not know how the court system works. They don't want to have repeated cases and trials and evidence and decisions and opinions on the same thing in different areas. So they use the concept of precedent. Okay, the Supreme Court has ruled as precedent on mail-in and signatures, case closed, not going to happen.
Right.
This is exciting, and you know, I like to put on my little bonnet that's half wacky but fully logical. I believe Trump captured Supreme Court Justice Roberts. He captured him on the Lolita Island with Epstein and said, you will get this done or we will hang your ass. Now, for others who don't know how the Supreme Court works, I do. I follow things like that because of my family. The court, for every case they hear, they call it, we'll hear that case, 20 or 30 or 50, they don't. So they could have said, oh, we're not going to hear that Oregon case. No, they got pressured. I think they captured Robertson. I wouldn't be at all surprised. This is wacky. If he has some health problems, or if he gets the corona and dies. Okay, let me do a quick switch over to Fauci. I think Fauci was captured. I think he was captured in June. There was a 2 to 3 week period where he wasn't on stage. And I was wondering, wait a minute, we got a bullshit pandemic. And the top health officer in the country is not on stage with the president. He's not around. Haven't seen him for quite a while. What's going on? And, you know, what are the options? Oh, he's on vacation. He's fishing. I don't think so. He's in a conference in Europe. We haven't heard about anything. How about he's negotiating his arrest for treason? So I think they captured him. And here's what I think is happening. They told him, you will prevent a real virus outbreak. You will prevent the killer non-vaccine. And you will enable the reopening of the economies, or you will get a lethal injection. That's what I think is going on with Fauci. His body language has changed. Just my opinion. Now, notice that he's no longer on the Corona Task Force. Ooh, now that is something that Trump has control over. I'm wondering, why isn't he fired at the NIH? And I think it's because Trump is not in charge. We've got a fascinating issue, Michael, where the political officers are out of the room and the medical officers took control.
Exactly. Yeah, big pharma and medicine is running things now.
Health officers, health officials. I mean, look at the defense in Florida of 3,500 positive coronas out of 7 laboratories. I kind of like that because it would have been a lot worse if they were, say, 40% positive and 3 labs were honest and 4 were not. Oh, no, no. All 7 are dishonest, 3,500 straight, 0 negative. Oh, my gosh. I got a theory regarding the test. And, you know, I like to put a lot of thought and logic into it. Since they're detecting in the PCR test antibodies for virus episodes of a recent nature, right, what they're really doing is testing to see if you're human.
Exactly right.
Exactly. So it's a human test. Now, if someone tests negative, what does that mean? Well, they say, well, he's negative for corona. And I say he's doesn't have very many antibodies from a recent episode. So he's superhuman.
Exactly. Super healthy.
I know one person. Michael, this is really strange. How many people do you know who've not had any virus for the last 5 years?
Probably a handful, I'm guessing.
Really? I only know one.
Okay.
I've asked around, have you had a virus, grippe, had a big flu incident? Well, yeah, a year and a half ago, I was really laid out for a week. Most everybody I know has one. Yeah, I had one in 2017, so I would probably test positive for corona. What they're doing is I think it's worse. I think it's much worse. I think they're doing made-to-order positives. And there are two sports areas that I've seen this, and I have my suspicion. My radar is up. St. Louis Cardinals had 13 or 15 different positives, and it interfered with Major League Baseball. St. Louis had 5 completed games when all the rest of the teams had 18 or 20. They've since resumed because, you know, they had a few days. They had to have 3 consecutive negatives. Oh, my gosh, yeah. And that's probably made to order. In other words, the medical community said, well, we've screwed them up enough. We made our point. Now let's get the negatives out. And Juarez, Mexico soccer team, loaded with positives. What's that all about? These are asymptomatic. I mean, come on, get a grip, people. We're being played.
Right. And let me give you the other side of the coin. My son-in-law actually works for a company that is in charge, like the PGA hired them and the Super Bowl. And so their company does all the monitoring, the temperature taking, and, you know, but in the PGA Tour, and I haven't researched this lately, but I did a show on this a few weeks ago. I think in their first 6,000 tests, 21 positives. I mean, so what does that say? Because then you have people in Florida where it comes back 70% positive. So I couldn't agree with you more. The whole thing is rigged. And I had to do some blood work when I was in the Bay Area. So I'm with my doctor. And you know what he said? COVID-19 is a cold. You know?
Yeah.
This is all BS. And I think you touched on it in your newsletter. You know, the economy started to collapse last August, September, a year ago. And so they had to bring this into play because otherwise we're going to chase them down with pitchforks and hang them from the streetlights if the economy were to crash. And they've been lying to us with this Ponzi scheme forever. Okay, so this coronavirus takes the hit.
And my pet example is the shale sector. Remember, the oil price went from 100 down to 50, down to 30, then down to negative 20. That was because of a weird phenomenon. They were selling the current because they ran out of storage space, and they were buying the forward. But the point was that the oil price collapsed and the shale sector was pretty much ready to croak. Yep. So now you enter the coronavirus and they get corona relief. And who benefits from that but the Wall Street banks, who've been financing them, and in the last 3 years, financing their debt rollover, their debt service. Oh my gosh, they're getting deeper. So now that the big banks have their coverage. Okay, I think we needed a force majeure. We needed a pretext. And you know, it's almost funny because I think that the good side is using the same pretext. And the way I like to describe it is you got an evil bus. I don't like to use black and white because I got a number of black friends. They're good people. I don't want to say you got a black bus and a white bus. No, you got an evil bus and you got a good bus, and they're on the same highway. It's a multi-lane highway, but down the way, you fork left for liberty or you fork right for fascism, and we're approaching it. So we don't know where we're going to exit. And they're shooting at each other in the bus.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's getting very, very dangerous. I think the good side's going to win. I've got some actual, some reasons. Let me see if I can bring up. Before I do that, let me define the evil camp. It's the central banks and the big U.S. and U.K. banks. And there are some Western European banks also. This is the evil camp. Langley Narcotics Groups, Big Pharma, and Johns Hopkins University. That's where Event 201 had its conference. The major health agencies like the CDC and the NIH. The media networks, both TV, print, well, and also online. The Gates Foundation, Monsanto and Halliburton. Amazon, Google, Facebook, Tesla. The telecom cell carriers. Okay, now who's the good side? We call them the white hats, the Alliance for the Light.
The Patriots.
The Patriots, right, the Patriots. It's President Trump and most of his cabinet. The military loyal to the Constitution. The military from allied nations. We couldn't have done the sweep in Europe without NATO good element military. The intelligence wing of the CIA, and I shouldn't really say it, the intelligence wing in the military, defense intelligence, white dragons of China, the Kremlin of Russia, Interpol force, and my favorite, the Triad Mafia, because they're the hit squads. They're going out.
Who is the Triad Mafia?
It's a Hong Kong, you know, let me put it this way. The Cosa Nostra Mafia is to Sicily and Italy what the Triad is to Hong Kong. Okay. It's their mafia.
But you're saying they're good, though.
Yeah. They've been hired by the White Dragons to eliminate, say, middle to high-level people who work for the cabal. Now, this is worth repeating constantly. In 2015, I was told by The Voice, there's a big effort, a big global initiative to eliminate the middle levels of the globalist cabal. Just think of 80%, the top 10%, they run things, the trillionaires, the bottom 10%, they're lost without their captains. And he told me in 2018, Jim, this is a success story. The Ross and the Rocks don't have their captains and majors anymore. They've only got generals and what they call in Latin America, cabos.
You know, it reminds me how they took out Pablo Escobar. They took out all his compadres, okay, and then he was left there naked. So similar, you're saying something similar is going on right now.
Yeah, and what that means, for those who don't quite understand what the majors and captains do, imagine that you need someone like right now. You need a group to go out and contact all the governors and all the small nations leaders and bribe them to stay locked down and threaten them.
Yeah.
And they threaten in a subtle way. They say, we're going to bribe you. You're going to take it. If you don't take it, we're going to kill one out of four in your organization.
Yeah.
Okay, so they take it.
Confessions of an Economic Hitman. He laid it all out for us.
Yeah, and that's how it worked. So if you've eliminated the middle layers, notice that Gavi stepped in here. Gavi is basically the vaccine medical arm of Davos. Now, Davos is an economic group, an economic forum, and I've been critical of them in the recent past by saying, I don't see anything economic about their conference. I see bankers. To me, I call it a banker barbecue and an open bar. And maybe in the basement in the evenings, you got some really seedy things going on. Okay, so where's the economics there? Nowhere. Well, they started a new group called Gavi, G-A-V-I. I heard Gavi made visits all through Latin America, I think to bribe officials to stay closed down. And, you know, one of the most pernicious data methods that I've ever heard in my life is the contact tracing.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine you got someone who's sick, but it's just a flu or something nasty flu. Okay, all his contacts, and suddenly you've got 15 cases. Then you got maybe the worry wart who says, I'm really scared. I don't know what to do. I want to get a test. And they give him a false positive. All right, well, he's got 13 people on his So you got 28 people, only one sick, and it's not even corona.
Yeah.
Now, here's a family story. This is from a friend in the family. He said, Jim, you'll find this interesting because you always like these things. I got a phone call. It was a political poll. And it said, hi, hello, how are you doing? Are you planning to vote this November? Yes. Are you planning to vote Democrat or Republican? Republican. Excuse me, I think we have a problem with the poll. That this is now invalid. We're going to have to get back to you.
It's so rigged. Everything's rigged.
And my family guy said, no shit. And that was the end of the call.
Listen to this story. I have a 13-year-old grandson, seventh grade. You know, it's at-home learning now. So he has to sit in front of a – good luck with this, right? But anyway, right. Check this out. The school calls my daughter and says, your son needs to get this vaccination. He's missing his one vaccination. She goes, he's at home with his family sitting in front of – sorry, he's got to get the vaccination or he can't be in class tomorrow. It's just absolutely insane. And I'll tell you another story. My sister's babysitting her granddaughter – who's like fifth grade. And so she's on her class. And so my sister's trying to manage that. And the teacher goes, okay, I think her name is Leoni. You know, okay, you're being really good, but Mona's acting up over there. Mona, you're being bad. You got to be quiet. You got to mute yourself. So Leoni, and here's what I see is going to happen. Okay. One day Mona isn't going to be there. Where's Mona? Oh, she has a cold. After class, the teacher emails somebody. They go to Mona's house. They test her. She's got COVID, and they take her. And then they start taking our kid. I mean, of course, I'm painting a bad scenario, but
I don't trust
these people. Yes.
It could happen.
We've got to take action now. This contact tracing, they're hiring people here in America with both hands as fast as they can. And that's scary to me.
And you've got some automated systems, too. Apple has some installed software that people don't install, and it's for contact tracing. So if you're a newly designated corona patient, you might provide them 80 different contacts from your Apple software. So it's gone out of control. I think it's going to break down, though, Mike. Here's where it's going to break down. The lockdown does not have proof of pandemic. You've got grossly falsified medical data. They've switched from a corona data to a COVID data. And if you check closely, COVID includes all the major influenza. So COVID is basically an influenza meter, and we've always had influenza. They banned HCQ as a treatment, along with other methods, including, you know, vitamin C and zinc. The failure of Big Pharma to come up with a corona vaccine indicates that there's no virus.
They haven't even isolated the virus yet.
I know. I don't even think it's a common cold. I think it's a fascist project.
Yeah.
We got glaring conflict of interest with the medical and pharmaceutical and health organizations.
Yeah.
And lastly, All you got to do is point to Sweden. They didn't do anything. They're doing fine.
Let me ask you this. I saw where Russia's developed a vaccine, and allegedly Putin's daughter took it. Who is Putin? Where is Russia fitting in this? Are they good? Are they bad? Because, you know, there are all these Russia bashing that leads me, puts my antenna up. So what, in your take, what is Putin? What is Russia? And why do they blame all this?
That's a tough question. Let me try to simplify the answer. If there's Russia bashing or Putin bashing, I believe it's coming from the cabal. If they say that Putin is nothing but, I don't like even using the Z word. If he's an agent from that little corner in the southeast, right. Of the, what do you call it? Southeast corner of the Mediterranean. Yeah. Then I say, well, you're full of crap. If you take a look at the track record for what Putin has done, you see he's opposed the move into Ukraine. He's opposed the move into Syria. I'm not really sure what he's doing in Libya with respect to Turkish military. Let's leave that alone. He ended up did a workaround and provided the Turkish stream for supply to Europe. He did a continuation of the Nord Stream 2 for German industrial production. And I ask, well, on his resume, what has he done that's really been harmful to the global economy? And nothing.
Right.
So why is there bashing? Okay, this is going to sound pretty weird, but I'm just going to put it out on the table, Michael, because we're allowed, and if there's ever a time to put weird stuff on the table, it's now. I've got pretty good word that Russia got help, that their medical institute involved, Gamaleyev or something like that. They used a new vector research method. They've got some assistant from the West, and they came up with a vaccine very quickly and jumped toward it without the third phase of clinical trials. And my belief is it was Team Trump and the white, oh gosh, what do you want to call, I don't like the white hat, the white hat element of Big Pharma. Now, Big Pharma is very big, and not all of it is corrupted. Like on the fringe, you might say, oh gosh, I don't know, AstraZeneca, they're not one of the major New Jersey players. But if you look at Switzerland and you see Novartis, they are. They're bad news.
Merck,
bad news.
Yeah.
I really believe that there's some element in Big Pharma that quietly assisted Russia to come out with something. And it is closer to a vaccine than anything that Big Pharma is planning for a lethal cocktail and a COVID, by that I mean chip, a COVID insertion and, you know, rendering the human cattle. What I've also heard, Michael, is that there is an effort, there is an ingredient in the Big Pharma and Gates vaccine to render humans imbeciles and semi-lobotomized. Okay, what I recommend is let's do phase one for the supposed upcoming coronavirus vaccine. Let's line up all the executives for Big Pharma, all their extended family, and all their best friends, and we'll have a nationally televised observation week to week to see how many fall into a coma, how many die, and how many turn into a friggin' imbecile. Okay, not going to happen.
It reminds me of that time. Remember the Monsanto guy? He was on TV saying glyphosate can't hurt you. There's nothing wrong with it. Go, well, here's a glass of it. Why don't you drink a little? He goes, hell no. I mean, they're so corrupt, these people.
I know. But, okay, back to Putin.
Yeah.
The consequence of this Russian vaccine is potentially enormous. Now, they have filed within a global system. So the patent, they didn't file in a localized domestic Russian only. No, they filed it in the West, which means that let's just say Bristol-Myers Squibb, they can't do the same. They were beaten to the punch because they were so busy in doing a perfect genocide. They got beaten to the punch. And this is very big and very important with enormous legal consequences, because what they have to do now is to prove that the Russian vaccine is illegitimate, is ineffective, and is corrupt. And all of their accusations will apply to their own camp. And I love it. I love it. Okay, I have another theory that Trump has a two-part plan. The first part is an effective, not one, but group of protocols for the corona or for COVID. COVID is influenza. Wake up, people! Please. We've gotten no more pneumonia.
Right, right.
We got no more tuberculosis. Wake up, people! The first thing you do if you're a biostatistician. Now, let me just give you a quick background, not long. When I studied for my doctorate, there were 7 or 8 big fields, and I couldn't master them all. So a typical PhD student is told, get your hands on 4 or 5. Become really solid and have some exposure to the rest, but no need for expertise. There's something called reliability theory, and I was good in it. And it was basically for managing the quality control testing, like a component off a machine assembly line, the production of chips, the production of disk drives, the production of a monitor. I worked for a computer corporation, Digital Equipment Corp. And I did a quality control procedure. I made a procedure in 83, 84. And it went very well, and it saved the company $75 million per year. And I decided I'm leaving my job after that because the guy was an asshole. He was really inhibitive. But the point is that reliability theory to the medical profession is called biostatistics. By understanding how to do quality control for machine assembly work, manufacturing output,
what?
I knew how to do clinical trial analysis. Instead of one factor, it's a human factor. Instead of other, it's a demographic factor. And it's the same methods. I got into a big dispute. I actually called someone an asshole in the Harvard medical area because I was applying for a job. I wanted to be a clinical trial statistician. They said, you're not properly qualified. And I said, since when is a PhD in statistics not proper qualification? Only one of my 5 mastered areas is biostatistics / reliability. What rock did you crawl out from under? And we got into a dispute, and they said, sir, you're going to have to leave. And I said, be glad to. You people are idiots. Okay, the first thing you do as a biostatistician, Michael, is you say, let's do a top look. Let's look at the group of infectious pulmonary diseases and deaths. Well, it's lower this year. Where's the pandemic? You don't even get past the first step.
Exactly.
That's why I say this is going to fall apart. Here's another weird element that's starting to creep into the picture. If a governor, without a proper justification, without following proper procedures, orders a shutdown, that governor is liable for business losses, and we haven't seen that yet. It's been pushed.
I think what we, as business owners, and I've been thinking about this, I'm going to find a lawyer. We need to put them on notice. We need to put the politicians, the governors, our local people, our federal people on notice. Hey, if this is bullshit and you caused all this damage, you are personally responsible.
It's not enough. They've got to go after the equity of big pharma.
Yeah.
And there you've got a couple trillion.
Yeah.
You need to go after the Rockefeller Institute. And now there's David Rockefeller Jr. They've got trillions. It'd be very interesting if the president attaches the Rockefeller Institute wealth as part of his Omnibus Act, which is essentially global RICO.
Yeah.
Okay, there's more than... There's something else that's at risk here, and it's not just the legal liability. It's for the governors. It's a whole lot more. It's wrongful death.
Yeah, it's the health and death liability.
You know, ordering the infusion of cases into nursing homes.
Putting these people on these ventilators and killing them. I mean, torturing them and killing them.
Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned this the last time, but Colombia, the country with two O's, they're paying $10,000 for a dead body. So they're going out and killing rival gangs, sending them to the hospital, you know, within an inch of their lives after beating up. And they put them on a ventilator and they call it COVID and they get $10,000. And my question was, from whom?
Exactly.
Who pays?
Hey, let me ask you something.
No. Who pays?
Well, that's
who pays?
IMF? I don't know.
It's Langley.
Okay. Same thing.
big pharma, Langley, CDC, it's all WHO, United Nations, it's all the same ball of wax.
Exactly. So and what I did see, I forget the country now, but the president or the prime minister came out and said, listen, the IMF said, hey, you come in here, if you'll fake all this COVID bullshit, we'll give you Lou Lyndon $900 million. He said, screw you. You know, so, I mean, everybody's being incentivized to go along with this. Now, the question I have for you is it the bigger picture, the New World Order, one world government? And is that, because to me, they're all in. They can't backtrack. They either got to succeed and take us all down or they're over. You see it that way?
Yes, I do. This is an all or nothing game. I believe you're referring to Belarus.
Yeah, exactly right.
And there was another incident where in Tanzania they kicked them out.
And well, that guy put papaya and a goat, and it all came back positive for COVID.
It was a goat, it was a bird, and it was a what they call a pawpaw, which is like a mango.
Okay, yeah.
And he embarrassed the heck. And just for people's information, that president of Tanzania has a chemistry degree, yeah. So he felt a little qualified to challenge them, but he might end up dead in the next year.
Well, that's the thing. But here's what I think, Jim. I think really, you know, and David Icke talks a little bit about this, and obviously these leaders are stepping out. I mean, it's uncomfortable to go against these guys, right, at that level. But if you analyze it, they're a bunch of pussies. Remember the video of Gates getting the pie in the face? I mean, really, he acts like a little baby. George W. Bush, when they threw the shoe at him, they're just straw men. They're just a bunch of pussies that have some power. But when push comes to shove, they'll disappear, I think, I hope.
I think they're paper cutouts, most of them. Yeah. And they remind me, when I watch a baseball game and I see the cutouts behind home plate, I sometimes think about some of our leaders. I got a couple jokes. This is actually kind of funny. There was a runaway game in baseball. You know, it was 7-2, then it was 9-2, and then it was 9-3, and then it was 12-3. And the announcer said, you know, Mike, it's amazing. The crowd has stuck with this all through the end. Nobody's gone home. And then there was another one days later. It was starting to rain. You know, it's in the ninth inning, top of the ninth. They want to get it done. It's raining. And the guy said, amazing. This crowd is getting soaked. Just soak from top to bottom, and they're sticking around. They're making fun of this. It's really kind of, okay, but back to the cutouts and leaders.
Yeah.
Okay, look at what a pussy Barack Obama was.
Yeah.
My gosh, he was a fudge packer, not just a pussy.
Right.
Okay, look at, you know, you got, you know, baby Bush. Yeah, that's a good one. But some of these leaders look like very weak individuals. I remember
Trudeau in Canada. I mean, come on.
Gosh, how about John Kerry? You know, John Kerry. It's very sickening. The point to take away is that these supposed leaders are cutouts, and the real power lies behind the scenes, and we really don't know who they are.
Right.
But Team Trump and the White Light Alliance of Patriots, they're rooting them out, and they're killing them. Okay, it has now become clear. This has been the case now since about July 1st. I've been watching this. I've been watching the tone, the language, the words. As of July 1st or so, what I'm seeing is the orders have been given to kill, not to capture, not to flip. That phase is done. We're now in the final phase. It's kill them, decapitate them, isolate them, and remove their friends, remove their protectors, bribe their guards, bribe their chauffeurs, and it's getting much bigger than that. some of the people have been captured and replaced with doubles, and they're given a role to play within the evil camp to serve as a mole and give information back to Team Trump. Now, people need to understand, Trump is not in charge. He's a cut out, I hate to use the word, he's like a high level.
He's the front man. He's the front man.
Let's call it the spokesman, okay?
Okay.
Front man still has kind of a thin veneer. Okay, he's the spokesman and he's the designated speaker, which is spokesman. And notice that he's got a White House press secretary, that gorgeous woman. Are you kidding me?
And smart.
Yes.
And quick on
yes.
her feet.
I know, and you know, women like that, when they are smart, they're taken as a pretty face and they're dismissed often.
Yes.
It's not fair. And I get the same thing. People say, you know, Jim, you're a really pretty boy. How could you be so smart if you're such a pretty? Okay, yeah. I got approached by gays when I was in college. Okay, I got stopped in front of a gay bar. A guy grabbed my arm and wanted to buy me a drink, and I just turned 19. I said, no, back off. Actually, I said, F off. I slapped him on the arm. I've been approached a lot by gay guys. I'm a dedicated hetero. Let's put it that way. These cutouts are dangerous. Now, if you've got removed middle layer of the cabal, who's managing the cutouts? It has to be too high a level person who might therefore expose himself. And that makes them in a dangerous and unsettling position. They don't like to be that. So I think we're getting close to crunch time where we're going to hear about some people very high level who are dead. And here's an interesting point to make. I think a lot of things I say are interesting. I preface it that way because I'm grabbing the right thought. These people's names are bigger than the people. So right now, George Soros, he reportedly died over a year ago, year and a half ago. He had his estate divided by three for his heirs. Do you do that if you're faking your death? Not really, because he's not going to give up unless he divided half of his estate into three parts, and he's controlling the other half himself as he continues. You know, there are lots of possibilities. But
let's do this, because we only got a couple minutes left. And so you're going to be here all week. We're going to do this again tomorrow. And I want to give you some things to think about between now and then, because you have a unique ability to go deep and keep it simple so commoners like me can understand, right? So, but in your newsletter, one thing you basically said, listen, we didn't pay attention. We were distracted. We were watching our sports. We were partying too much. And they have taken control. The cabal has taken control, and they really, really have. But you think that there's hope, and that's where you and I differ a little bit, because you're more optimistic than me. But you keep saying, you know, we got to stop them. So tomorrow, I'd really like to go, what can we do? What can I do? What can my friends do? What the people watching the show can do? What can we do? Because I feel like the cabal is greatly organized. They do a lot of things. They think in centuries. They think in generations, where we don't have a leader. We're not organized. And we're thinking about what we're going to do next week, right? And so I want to hear from you. What can we do? Voting, obviously. But what else can we do to wake people up and take our goddamn life back? So that's the thing about.
Don't wear a mask. We'll talk about it tomorrow, but don't wear a mask.
Or you know,
when they say wear your mask, say screw your business.
No, I got to figure it out. I went into a store the other day, and they said, sir, you got to take your mask off. It said Trump 2020. But
how about a mask with a hole in the middle where you can breathe properly and stick your tongue out?
Yeah, there you go. So anyways, folks, listen, I love having Jim Willie. We're fortunate he's going to be with us. It's a week of Willie, as I call it. And I'm up here in Idaho. I'm going to have a great time. As soon as I get out of here, I'm going to go golfing and enjoy the lake. But I hope you have a great day. But please, if you like the show, please like it, subscribe, share it, and tune in tomorrow, 5 p.m. Pacific Tuesday. Jim Willie will be back, and we're going to go deeper into some of these subjects and more into his newsletter. And if you want to learn more about Jim, go to golden-jackass.com, and I encourage you to subscribe to the Hat Trick Letter newsletter. It comes out once a month. Till tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, go out there and make it a great day.
You've been listening to Get Real with Mike Murphy. We all need to wake up before it's too late. Learn to question everything, open your mind, and own your power. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.